Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Well, I'd say good afternoon, but it's really hard to say that because it's just not really a good afternoon. It's not a good day. It's a tough day in this country once again, and it seems like this is happening way too often. I want to say this is the third radio show I've done hours after a mass shooting, and I'm not even on the air every day.
Well, it's the 15th time that President Barack Obama has stepped up and had to have a meet the nation, face the nation, let's have a discussion about yet another mass shooting. 15 times in the near 8 years that he has been the president of the United States, and again today. And good afternoon. I'm Mark Carmen. You're Adam Hogue. You're Jared Payton. But, like, I don't know. There's a million different ways to go with what's going on right now. But, like, my biggest reaction, my biggest takeaway so far is watching Obama step up and speak. And it's just a huge resignation to me in this country right now. Well, we'll see if we're going to do anything about this. And or we're just going to see if we're going to do absolutely nothing like we have done before. And we'll all go on with our lives tomorrow. And we'll forget about this one. And hope that it doesn't happen to us. Because, I mean, to me, that's the general state of where the country's at. Jared, I don't know how you're feeling.
It's just a bad state right now. You know, I'm
not blaming the president,
no,
by
just,
the way.
No, I know you're not. But just waking up this morning and, you know, getting the first thing, and I even turn on the television, it's going right to the phone and turning on Twitter to see what's going on. You just really never know. And it put just life in perspective a little bit this morning about just calling my family members and letting them know that I love them, because you don't know. And it's not, listen, in our city, the city we live in, you know, just even driving down the highways, it's something that I think about on a daily basis when we see all of these shootings that are going on just here, right, and the killings that are going on in our own city. It's scary.
Yeah, because 50 people, that's like 3 weeks here in Chicago. You know, it might not all happen in one mass shooting overnight, but it's constantly happening, and it's just part of the conversation. I wake up this morning, I recorded the OJ documentary. I thought that would be something we'd be talking about today. Wanted to sit down and watch it. Didn't really check Twitter yet, didn't check Facebook, dove right into it, and then, I don't know, at some point I paused it, looked at Twitter, realized what was going on in Orlando, and this is all, I mean, I'm sitting there watching this OJ thing, which is at least the first half hour, which was all I got to watch. It's all about race relations in America, all these awful times that are, I mean, I guess better now, but than they were before, but
are
still
they,
an issue.
Are they?
Well, that's a great question. Are they? To be interrupted by that, which is already a huge issue in this country and makes you kind of sad and puts you in a bad mood, I get interrupted by what happened in Orlando, which is just more hate, more terrorism, and it's just, I'm angry. I've never been in this awful of a mood to start a radio show, and we come in here every Sunday after the White Sox lose every single week.
Well, there is a real perspective somewhere there. That of course we're normally in the toy department. We are going into the real department to start the show today. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Are we just numb to it? Because that's sort of my feeling on it. I mean, Omar Mateen, 29 years old, born in the States, walks into a nightclub, gay nightclub in Orlando, Pulse, and he's got a gun, and he's got a long gun, and he goes and he shoots 50 people, wounds 50 others. The death toll is expected to rise. And he's calling 911 saying he's with ISIS. ISIS is cheering him on online, although there's no real actual connection that ISIS told him to go into this nightclub, that he was directed by anyone. But how does somebody, you know, I mean, ask yourself the question, how does somebody who was born in this country, he was in New York, how does he get to the point in time in his life at 29 years old where this is the decision that he wants to make? I mean, to me, there's a way in which we're living as far as just we're all so bundled up, and there's no excuse for anything here. I'm just trying to moderately understand someone. Like, we're all in our cell phones. We're all in our own lives. Maybe he was subject, and there's no excuse, but maybe he was just this loner dude who was ridiculed or whatever it was, and the only way that this guy felt like he was going to get attention is to become some complete lunatic. I mean, that's like my only way of understanding something like this. How does it happen that you're 29 years old, man? This is how you want to go out?
It's hard to kind of dive into the mind of someone
right,
that kind of loses
that,
it. It's too tough.
I don't know that you can protect yourself from that. Except what really bothers me is that he can go out this week and buy the assault rifle that he bought. Well, I just heard in David Jennings News, he bought two guns this week. I don't know if you saw and I was hoping to play it for you. My computer's not working here, so we'll see if we can get that worked out. And but President Obama did a town hall meeting,
yes,
like 9 days ago on PBS. And he was asked your exhausting, repetitive, over and over again, we hear this from pro-gun people, why they want to take their guns away. And he went on a 5-minute answer, first of all explaining they're not trying to take your guns away.
Mm-mm.
They're just trying to get Congress to allow them. So all these people who say it's about the person, well, certainly that's part of it. They want to get to these people, but they can't because Congress and the NRA won't let them. Yeah. And he gave an example of he was in a briefing earlier in the day, he said, of a known ISIL person who they knew of and couldn't do anything to keep the guns away from him. I don't know if this is the same guy. What if it is? And it really doesn't matter, because the point is it could have been.
Yeah.
The FBI knew about this. They couldn't do anything. And he bought two guns this week. That's what's so frustrating about this to me.
Well, and that's why, you know, when you look in the mirror on what's going on in the world, well, you know, you gotta get out and vote. You got to go. If that's how you feel, call your congressman. I mean, I know that's the smallest of the small, but it's like it's on some level, that's really where it's got to start. Who are you electing? Like Obama, the president, there was a discussion on the last shooting after Newton or whatever. It's all a blur. And people are saying you're making this a political discussion. It is a political discussion. It absolutely is.
But too many people are not informed as part of the problem. And when you have organizations like the NRA who are purposely saying things that aren't true, like Trump did yesterday, saying that Hillary's trying to abolish the Second Amendment, whether or not you, whoever side you are on that, on your Trump supporter, Clinton supporter, she's never said that. But you have the other guy saying that she did. Well, she did.
And there's also the interpretation of the Second Amendment is it's taken a huge right turn.
But no one's trying to repeal it.
Right.
And no one's trying to take your guns away.
Right.
It's not about that. It's about keeping it away from people like this.
Aggressive background checks is what most people want.
And that's the one thing that we do know for sure is that the bad guys are always going to find ways to be able to have the guns, regardless of what people are talking about. Why are you trying to take guns away? Well, some people want to be able to protect their families. Some people, we already know that the bad guys that are doing the bad things they're going to find guns.
Which is fine if you're a responsible gun owner.
So it's the person behind the gun.
Right.
Which is why when I get into the mental health issues of this that are everywhere in our society, I think that's a huge part of it too.
But what's scary is that it is easier to go buy a gun than it is to get a driver's license.
And not just a gun, a semi-automatic weapon. Yeah.
Right. Who needs that? No one needs that.
Right.
What is the use for that? It's not hunting, unless you're hunting humans. What is the point of that?
I'm with
no
you,
No one needs that.
I'm with you. Hey, 312-981-7200. We'll take a ton of calls today if you want to jump in on your thoughts on the latest terror attack. And we'll, of course, we're going to be right on everything that's going on with ABC and in the newsroom all afternoon long. It is 3:15, so learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. The latest on what's going on in Orlando, your thoughts, and more on the world we're living in next on 720 WGN. WGN, I'm Mark Harmon, he's Jared Payton, he's Adam Hoge. We are The Beat, doing a little non-sports today. It just doesn't seem appropriate, really, to talk about the Cubs and the White Sox on
we will at some point.
Yeah, some point.
We will?
I don't know how you, well, maybe we won't, but I don't know how you can, how we could start a show.
I really
sports
haven't.
Or not, without talking about what's really going on in the country today.
Here's some facts about guns for you. In America, there are approximately 270 million firearms possessed by civilians, only 897,000 carried by the police. Approximately 20% of gun owners own 65% of the guns. Close to 33,000 Americans were victim of gun-related deaths in 2011. An average of 268 citizens are shot every day. 268 a day.
That's a lot.
That's not nothing, team. And we're getting a text in here on the shooting in Orlando saying, don't say the shooter's name, which I think that's actually a good text as far as, I mean, giving somebody glory so they... But it is amazing on some level that they do not want to. If you want to leave the world, commit suicide, that's terrible. You should go seek help. But if you do want to go out and you're not going to seek help, go out alone, man. You don't need to take anybody with you.
Yeah,
right?
But that's not, I guess we don't really know the details, right, of why this guy did this or who he was affiliated with. Or do we?
I mean, he's claiming that. You know, he's
from the 911 call.
Yeah, he's making 911 calls, you know, saying that, hey, I'm doing this for ISIS, but there's no, you know, the investigation's ongoing. So, I highly doubt that he was directed to, hey, go into this gay nightclub. I don't exactly know how the ISIS organization works without sounding flippant, but I doubt that happened. I really do. Right?
Yeah. I just think that it's, Carmen, you were just talking about how, man, you to be able to go in and take someone's life. Go ahead, Adam.
No, listen,
yesterday or early in the day, you had a 20-year-old singer who was on The Voice. She's doing a show. She's signing autographs, and some lunatic comes across the state in Florida and kills her. She's 20 years old, man.
And that's where I think that it's too easy sometimes for people to say, well, mental illness is the real issue. In that case, it sounds like it is. What we're dealing with today, though, is this radical terrorism still, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Right.
That's a different thing.
To take someone's life, though, it's something's got to be going wrong upstairs to be able to take somebody's life, and especially when you look at the situation of, you know, people being out and. You can't go. It's like you really can't go out anywhere because you really don't know when it's going to happen, and it's kind of crazy.
But you don't. I mean, you're not going to stop living your life.
No, you can't stop living your life. You can't.
And listen, I've traveled to Israel, which is always under attack, and people have different, you know, thoughts about the country. I love Israel. It's a beautiful place. I think that everybody should go there. And when I was there, I mean, church groups, the whole thing. I mean, it's not like this is a land for all people. But the point being is, you walk outside a mall in Israel, there's a guy with a machine gun standing out there, armed, and that's how it is. So if you want that in this country, if you would feel safer outside the Sears Tower, outside the United Center, outside Wrigley Field, I mean, maybe that's where we're going. If for people who are, you know, hyped on, well, you know, I want everybody to be able to protect themselves. Well, maybe you want more presence. Because that's how it is there. Because that's how they live. They're always under attack. And it's kind of how it is right now.
I went to a baseball game in Puerto Rico, and it was like that.
Right?
And that's part of this country. Part of the United States.
It was really like that at Super Bowl 50, because I was there just walking around Levi Stadium. I mean, this was...
Yeah.
It was
huge presence.
Huge presence walking around.
Right. I mean, that maybe that's where we're headed, not just at huge events, but on a day-to-day, who knows? All right, let's get some calls in. 312-981-7200. Pete, you want to do the little things. Well, how you?
Here's what I'm going to do today and tomorrow. First off, I cut the grass today, and normally I'd go have a beer, but I'm not having a beer because I called, and I'm not going to politicize it. I'm not going to let Paris win. What I'm going to do tomorrow is when I get a little time off of work, and if I'm going to take a half a day, I'm going to go donate blood. I'm going to do something, those little things that I know I could control to say, you know what, you guys aren't going to win. I don't care what you guys think of our American lifestyle, but this is our lifestyle. Let us fight it on the inside. If you come from the outside and you want to get in, you're going to try to change it, nope, it's not going to happen. Not under my watch anyway. So well, I'm going tomorrow to donate blood. I'm AB positive. I know they always use my platelets, and that's the small thing I could do to say, you know what, we're going to win. This country's going to win it. No, I don't care what political side you're on. That's what I'm doing.
That's an awesome call, Pete. I'm putting you on hold. Dan Long's going to pick you up. We're going to give you something for that because we want to do a little thing for you. You're the man.
Thanks, Pete.
And good for you, Pete, and good for all the people in Orlando today that did that same thing. There was a line that was over 2 hours long of people waiting to give blood to help because it was an issue this morning. And I think that's a perfect example of what Pete's talking about, that this – it sucks that this keeps happening, and it sucks that we keep having to talk about it, but every time it does, this country rallies together, and you see a lot of good despite all the bad.
There's a lot on the ground level. Like the people reaching out together when around, I mean, 9/11, you go back to how many people have just put themselves in harm's way to try to save a life of someone they did not know. It happens all the time in this country. I mean, we live in the best country. It's the most amazing place to be. But we have some issues that we gotta look in the mirror at how we can make it safer for everybody. I mean, right now there's some, you know, there's huge mourning going on, and it happens all the time. It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, it could happen tomorrow. But it could happen tonight.
But Pete was right, though. I mean, basically, you have to kind of look yourself in the mirror, and you can only do what you can do. You can't really change anybody else. But if you can do your part, hopefully down the line, you know, people can start doing that. And we all just come from different backgrounds, different areas, different religions, and different backgrounds. We have to be able to figure out how we can all just kind of come as one.
312-981-7200. One more quick call before we get to news at the bottom and everything that's going on in Florida. Sue, you got about 40 seconds. Sue, go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, so many thoughts go through your head. I was actually on hold with WGN last night to comment on the topic, and then found out this morning this is what really happened, and I just really, really love Pete's call. Sometimes we can all sit in the travesty of this in this country or anywhere in the world, and I just hope that we can all really, really listen to each other more. And like I said, I love Pete's call because that's something, like he said, he can control and, you know, step up and help each other in all these ways. So thank you.
You're welcome, Sue, and thank you. We love your call too. Feel like you're in a great spot of contributing. All right, let's take a quick time out here. We want to hit news on time. I'm sorry, Dan, we're taking it all the way to the bottom here. So okay, we'll hit news on time at 3:30.
After news, though, I do have this audio from President Barack Obama. It's about 4.5 minutes long, and we'll it's the best. It's not even an argument. It's just common sense. Whether you're pro-gun or anti-gun, it's just he lays out what this is all about and what needs to happen and what kind of action there needs to be taken. And so I want everyone to hear it if they missed it because it's just so important no matter what side of the issue you fall on.
Yeah, and no matter what you think of the president.
Yeah, and if you don't like him either, it doesn't matter. This is just common sense that everyone can agree on.
It's pretty good.
I mean, he's such a great orator. And I'm watching him today, and I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine substitute Trump in there for this speech and what that looks like rather than when he's standing up there for 5 minutes? I mean, he had some great presence today, as he has a numerous times. And, I mean, I think we'll play it coming after 3:30 news. I mean, I always feel it when he's talking.
By the way, there was a story in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette today where Trump had a rally yesterday in Pittsburgh. And they interviewed a 12-year-old who was there supporting Donald Trump, and they asked him why.
Right.
And he said it was so he could keep his guns.
Okay.
A 12-year-old.
Well, right.
12-year-old.
That's, you know, it's coming from the parent, obviously.
How do you feel now, though, when you think of the gun issue and the conversation? We'll talk about it when we come back.
WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hoge. He's Jared Payton doing a real radio show today, at least the start of it.
Are you saying we don't usually do a real radio show, Mark?
I think we do a sports talk radio show, which is...
The question's still out there.
Technically real, but not real real.
This is real. Like, today's real.
Hashtag real talk.
Yep.
Hashtag we're living in a cray-cray world, and we're talking about it.
Hashtag cray. Are you wearing a hashtag shirt right now?
I am. This is our guy, Jimmy Gavin.
I didn't know. So hashtag b-ball crazy is his slogan?
I'm repping our guy.
Got to.
So you got something to play for us, Adam?
I do. Okay, so this was less than 2 weeks ago. About 10 days ago, PBS did a town hall meeting, their PBS News Hour show, where folks in the crowd, regular U.S. citizens, could stand up and ask President Barack Obama questions right there. And sure, Obama was probably prepped. He doesn't know what questions exactly are coming, but he's certainly educated on all these issues. So this starts with a question from somebody in the crowd about Second Amendment rights and gun control. And then you'll hear President Obama respond.
Why then do you and Hillary want to control and restrict and limit gun manufacturers, gun owners, and the responsible use of guns and ammunition to the rest of us, the good guys, instead of holding the bad guys accountable for their actions? And Mr. President, if I may, I'd like to use Chicago, your hometown, a city that has some of the strictest gun laws in the nation, a city that for decades and still is under Democratic control, a city that has an outrageous and even embarrassing murder rate, mm-hmm. as my first example. Why can't we round up these thugs, these drug dealers and gang members, and hold them accountable for their actions, or allow the good people in Chicago access to firearms to protect themselves?
Good. All right. Well, let me, it's a multi-part question, so let me just say a couple things. First of all, the notion that I or Hillary or Democrats or whoever you want to choose are hell-bent on taking away folks' guns is just not true. And I don't care how many times the NRA says it. I'm about to leave office. There have been more guns sold since I've been president than just about any time in U.S. history. There are enough guns for every man, woman, and child in this country. And at no point have I ever proposed confiscating guns from responsible gun owners. So it's just not true. What I have said is precisely what you suggested, which is, why don't we treat this like every other thing that we use? We used to have really bad auto fatality rates. The auto fatality rate has actually dropped precipitously, drastically, since I was a kid. Why is that? We decided we had seatbelt laws. We decided to have manufacturers put airbags in place. We decided to crack down on drunk driving and texting. We decided to redesign roads so that they were less likely to have a car bank. We studied what is causing these fatalities using science and data and evidence, and then we slowly treated it like the public health problem it was, and it got reduced. We are not allowed to do any of that when it comes to guns, because people, if you propose anything, it is suggested that we're trying to wipe away gun rights and impose tyranny and martial law. Do you know that Congress will not allow the Center for Disease Control to study gun violence? They're not allowed to study it. because the notion is that by studying it the same way we do with traffic accidents, somehow that's going to lead to everybody's guns being confiscated. When we talked about background checks, if you buy a car, if you want to get a license, first of all, you got to get a license. You have to take a test. You have to. People have to know that you know how to drive. You don't have to do any of that with respect to buying a gun. And when we talked about doing effective background checks, it was resisted because the notion was we were going to take your guns away. I just came from a meeting today in the Situation Room.
Listen to this.
In which I've got people who we know have been on ISIL websites, living here in the United States, U.S. citizens, and we're allowed to put them on the no-fly list when it comes to airlines, but because of the National Rifle Association, I cannot prohibit those people from buying a gun. This is somebody who is a known ISIL sympathizer, and if he wants to walk in to a gun store or a gun show right now and buy as many weapons as ammo as he can, nothing's prohibiting him from doing that, even though the FBI knows who that person is. So, sir, I just have to say respectfully that there is a way for us to have common sense gun laws. There is a way for us to make sure that lawful, responsible gun owners like yourself are able to use it for sporting, hunting, protecting yourself. But the only way we're going to do that is if we don't have a situation in which anything that is proposed is viewed as some tyrannical destruction of the Second Amendment. And that's how the issue too often gets framed.
Could you say it any better?
Probably not, no. And that's the whole point, man. No one is trying to take away your guns, and nobody is trying to say that there is an end-all, be-all cure for what's going on. We're still going to have tragedies. But we can do better, man. It's the
fact that the CDC can't study gun violence.
That's an issue.
It's unbelievable. He just told you there was a person, multiple people, that they knew had been on ISIL websites that could still buy guns. And what have we learned today from David Jennings News in the last hour of the show? 45 minutes. This guy today was part of those groups, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least says he was. The FBI had interviewed him multiple times in 2013 and 2014, which you just heard from Obama talking about someone that the FBI knew of. And they couldn't stop him from buying guns in the last 2 weeks, which he did. That's what we got to get to, at least to that point. So whether you're Joe Schmo at home and you want to buy a gun to protect yourself, fine. If you're a responsible gun owner, fine. That's not what this is about. This is about protecting our people from these bad people who the FBI knows about and can't prevent them from buying guns. That just seems like common sense.
Anybody own a gun in here?
I think I know somebody who does.
Well, you
just recently bought a firearm, and not to conceal carry, not anywhere but for my house. When I started to see a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing in this world and on TV, my first focus is always making sure that my family is okay. And now having kids and having my wife, and sometimes just being at home and just the life that I live here, being in the city, you never really know. And my last name, I've seen it happen where people try to break into my house when I lived in South Barrington. Crazy people that were sending letters to my father. There was a point in time, you get both of you guys, where I had to go to school with security guards because there was people that were saying that they were going to try to kidnap me or my sister. The crazy stuff that we've lived through, right? You just never really know. But for me to have that, it scares me to see what's going on out in this world. But to know that I can protect my family, yeah. But to get a gun and go through the process, wasn't that hard.
I was going to ask you, how hard was it?
It really wasn't that hard.
That's what scares me.
But you did have to go through. You mean, Illinois has got significant background checks. So what exactly did you have to do?
Had to get my FOIA card first, which took over a little bit over a month to receive the card before I can go. And then yesterday I had to go in and go through the background check through online that they have at the store. And basically I said, I passed. I have never been arrested, anything like that. So
right.
I passed.
And I think.
So it's like a credit check before you make a big purchase.
Yes.
And you finance it.
And I would think that 99% of society is good with that. Jared Payton wants to have a gun in his home to protect himself, not an AK-57 or whatever.
Right. No. So this guy that shot 50 people in Orlando overnight, he goes through the same. He bought guns in the last 2 weeks. Okay. So he walks into the store. I don't know what kind of, if they did the same background checks down there or not. But even if it was here in Illinois, he'd do the exact same thing you did. He passes? He's been interviewed by the FBI multiple times?
No, he's absolutely not passing. Not in this state.
No.
No chance.
So whatever state it is, how is it possible that he could? That's what I'm getting at.
Well, that's the issue.
That's your NRA right there, and that's the amount of dough, and that's the amount of influence they have all day. I mean, that's as simple as that, right? 312-981-7200. Are we completely numb to the attacks? I'd like to hear people's thoughts on that. I mean, what was your reaction today when you heard about 50 more people killed in Orlando today? Did you immediately proceed to have your cup of coffee and go on with your day? Because there's no judgment on that. I'm wondering if that's where we're at. Because on some level, I think we just become numb to it. 720 WGN. This is The Beat. He's Jared Payton. He's Adam Hoge. I'm Mark Harmon. We're with you till 6 o'clock today. Another tragic day in our country.
Too many of those.
Let's take some calls here. I'm wondering if we're numb to the violence that is around us every single day. And, there's the story, and we're moving on. 312-981-7200. Also been talking a lot about gun control, which makes sense. Jimmy, you're on 720 WGN.
Thanks for holding, Jimmy.
No problem. I'm listening about this. With the tape you played of Obama's address, he mentioned that for us, no fluff and able to buy guns.
Jimmy, I'm sorry we're losing you there. Let's try to reestablish and get Jimmy back on if we can.
You had a bad sell there, Jimmy. Let's try Lupe. Lupe, you're on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200.
Yeah, hi. I want to talk about what's happening. We're going to do the math because men are supposed to be good with numbers. There was one shooter, 50 died, 53 got shot. If you add the 50 and 50, that's 103. If 103 people would have had guns, 103 people wouldn't have got shot.
So all
these people are supposed to carry guns with them as they go out and enjoy their Saturday night?
What at war, that's what you fight with. And one guy said, I'm going to go barbecue and give some blood. No, don't give blood. Go get a gun. We're at war, and nobody gets that.
Lupe,
if everybody would get, do I have to carry a gun now? A right.
So
Obama put Rahm Emanuel here. That's when Chicago went down, not because of guns, because somebody put Rahm Emanuel, and Obama is not from Chicago.
Okay, Lupe.
All right.
Thank you for those brilliant thoughts. 312-981. 7200.
I hate to state the obvious, but you know what? This whole, if more people in a given place had had guns, this wouldn't have happened. You're assuming that people who buy a gun also get trained well in how to use said weapon. And also, there is a huge difference between shooting a paper target at a gun range and shooting a live human being who, by the way, is also moving.
And this was an AR-15, correct?
Yeah. Semi-automatic assault weapon.
Yeah. So I'm,
plus, he had a handgun.
I'm actually not good with math, Lupe, but I'm pretty sure I do know that subtracting one AR-15 out of that situation, 50 people probably wouldn't have died either.
Yeah, I also am aware that when I go down the street, people are screaming at each other if they get cut off at a stop sign. The last thing we need is everybody out there armed and no, sorry, that's not the world I want to live in at all.
Not at all. Not to go out and enjoying your time, enjoying your life, and figuring out that you have to listen. I understand we got to be cognizant of what's going on, but not to be around carrying a gun in the streets.
Yeah,
I mean, do you really want everyone at the nightclubs here?
Not me.
Not
strapped.
Ever.
I don't think
that's helping any situation. And you brought up the event that happened two nights ago. The event, the murder, the awful murder of the voice singer.
You're talking about Christina.
Yeah, and now that was a handgun, correct?
He had multiple weapons.
Multiple weapons, but the brother of the singer, correct, was able to tackle him.
And then he still managed to shoot himself.
He still managed to shoot himself, but he wasn't able to shoot anyone else.
The artist was Christina Grimmie. If you watch The Voice, you've heard her. She was an incredibly amazing talent. She was in her early 20s. She was going to perform, and she's not with us anymore. I mean, on some level, it's just got to resonate, man. That's your life. Like that, I mean, come, it's just so painful. It could happen. I mean, I think people should be out there. We should all live our days, and not, and there's no, you know, what are you going to do? You do what you do. But like, I'm still talking about like not living in fear and hiding, but it's like, man, she just was out at a concert. If she just hadn't gone there, she's still here. That's just brutal.
Do you guys ever have thoughts in your everyday life about where you are, what could happen? Because I have over the last 5 years.
Well, of course. I mean,
it's happened to me now.
It's awful.
It happens to me almost every day when I get in the car and just drive down the expressway.
That, Jared, is something that far too many people don't get.
What's that, David?
It's an experience that is related primarily to people who have the great tan that Jared and I are blessed with that doesn't happen to people who don't. We are far more likely to be pulled over just because we don't have to be speeding. And Jared can verify this. You know, I remember a situation. I was giving someone a ride home, passed a police car going into their cul-de-sac, and I told the young lady, stand on your doorstep and watch what happens when I drive the other way out of your cul-de-sac. Count to three when I pass the patrol car. His lights will come on. He'll pull me over. I won my $20 bet.
Listen, people of color in this country are up against a lot more than the Caucasian. That's just a fact. You want to argue that? You would be wrong. But hey, we want to get to news on time, so we'll stop that conversation right there. We'll get back after it. And to all your calls right after the news on 720 WGN.
Why? Chicago sports spoken here.
How the sports is it going on here?
This is The Beat.
Well, it's usually sports. We've taken a little bit of a necessary turn today in talking about the events in Orlando, the horrific events overnight in Orlando. But real quick, just to update you on what is going on in the sports world. White Sox lose to the Royals 3-1. They once again lose to the Royals. Does that mean we have to have Nick Wright on again?
No, it's okay.
He only comes on after... The White Sox lose to the Royals.
He very much would like to speak on what's going on in the world today, but we're not going to do that. Sox lose 2-3 to the Royals, now under 500.
And the Cubs...
Best team ever.
The Cubs also have a habit. The White Sox have a habit of losing. The Cubs have a habit of beating the brains out of teams. Why can't you just win one game by like a run?
It's not what they do.
They have to win by at least six every single day.
What was the final today?
Well, it's 13-2 and the game's not over yet.
No, so they got a little more work to do.
Right.
When you got an offense like that, man.
That's a beautiful thing. Hey, we were talking off the air during the break. Jared, well, you were speaking about yes, you have to live your life, but no, I'm not going to be going to smaller venues.
No, it's you start to think about it. I do. I want to live my life. I want to be around and hang out, but some of these instances have made me kind of change the way that I think, like going to smaller events. Like when I go to the United Center and walk in, I feel safe going to the United Center. You know, sometimes you either have to walk through the, you know, metal screening. You go to some of these smaller venues, I mean, it's you just kind of walk in. There's not a lot of security, and it's kind of changed the way of, you know, how I'm doing things and conduct myself and going to events, and it makes me think. It really does. And, you know, you were talking about Hogue when I sent you that text message about the AR-15. I mean, it's not, this is, it's a, that's a big gun. And it's when you start thinking about how, you know, people are inside these small quarters and hanging out and they're having a good time, and just the reality of someone coming in and opening up shop and just shooting, it's just crazy to start thinking about. But still, I don't.
It's a fear we shouldn't have to live with.
Being here, exactly. To me, that's what we shouldn't have to do. And I don't feel like I want to be walking around being in a place where everybody's packing heat. I don't want that either.
Right, but okay. I mean, I hear what you're saying. And going to the United Center, it is safer than, say, going to the RIV. Significantly safer. I mean, you have to go through. It's like you're going through an airport nowadays. But the other side of it is, well, you going to go out to dinner?
I'm still going out to dinner.
Right, but it can happen anywhere, right? It could happen at Starbucks. It could happen at whatever, wherever you're eating.
The sad thing is, I'm always thinking about it, though.
Right.
I'm always thinking about it now. Yeah. I would say every other day I think about it. Because you know, all three of us, man, we go places all the time. Whether I'm going to events, I'm going to speak somewhere, I'm going, it's, you never know. And so, yeah, I always think about it.
The movies haven't been the same for me since what happened in Aurora, Colorado.
I don't go anymore.
See, I don't feel it in a movie theater, but I do feel like if I'm walking down the street, particularly at night, and there is, you know, somebody walking at me on the same side of the street, and I'm in my neighborhood, not, you know, walking down Michigan Avenue, but I'm just on the side street, I'm crossing the street to the other side. And I don't care. I'm telling you, if it's a man, if it's a woman, if he's white, it doesn't matter. Any color. I'm still, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do. There's no real point in me being on the same side of the street with you.
But you weren't always like that, though.
No, I wasn't.
So you think about it as well.
That's when I feel it.
These ads.
Especially when it's multiple people. Because you see dudes that are out there and they just want to beat people up. I mean, that happens all the time.
JP, you found this. I think it was on @ThinkProgress tweeted it out.
Yeah.
These are real ads for the AR-15 that exists. This is the gun that was used in the massacre in Orlando today. It's a big, giant gun that you can't just hide.
No, you're not hiding. I mean, not hiding that.
And this is an ad from Bushmaster Firearms. It's a picture of this giant gun. And the ad simply says, "Consider your man card reissued."
Okay. 3-1.
What does that
mean? Well, you know what that means. Now you're a man. You got a big gun. Yeah.
What are you going to do with it? And then this other one from Remington. One rifle, many missions. What are these missions?
The mission is to take out evil, fix the world. We're all going to do our part. We're going to get our Remington. What is that one?
This is the AR-15. The
Remington AR-15. You get your man card, you're going to go fix the world. Yeah. Okay. Joe, you're on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. So I think as someone who's very pro-Second Amendment, pro-NRA, I agree with you somewhat, but I think that President Obama is misrepresenting the position of the NRA. Especially, you know, Republicans and people who own guns, we don't want these, you know, terrorists being anywhere near it. The only problem is that if they're U.S. citizens, you cannot deny them constitutional rights without due process. There are laws in place in which you can take away somebody's guns, but you have to go through trial first. And the problem with what Obama's saying is that there would be no trial involved.
So you
think a guy that's been interviewed by the FBI multiple times, known to be on these websites, still should be able to purchase a gun this week because he just hasn't been through a trial?
Well, if they're considered, they can arrest him for having those sympathies, or at least.
But you can't arrest somebody for just the way they think. They have to commit a crime.
Joe, are you making the argument the NRA is pro more gun control? You're not saying that,
no,
are you?
I'm saying no. Of course not.
Right.
I'm saying that you cannot deny somebody constitutional rights without due process. They can be if they're on a watch list, there are ways to deny them that, but it has to be through a trial. And that's where most of these gun things, that's most of the problem with them.
But it sounds to me like, Joe, you're not aligned with the NRA. You want to be able to have a gun, but you want stricter gun laws. Am I right?
No, there are already laws in place. You just have to bring them through trial.
So the laws aren't working because 50 people got shot this morning in Orlando. They're not working.
Well, then we should enforce them better.
Okay.
But you have to understand is that the Second Amendment is not for hunting. It's not for necessarily home protection. Because it's not the government's there to protect our rights. It doesn't give us those rights. It's there. So if, heaven forbid, the government ever get destructive of those, we have a right to defend them.
Well, and that was the original construction of the Second Amendment.
And is that not?
But
that, is that not relevant today?
To me, it's not as relevant, Joe, because it was a completely different time. No one's overthrowing.
I'm sorry. Do governments not go tyrannical today? What about Putin? What about
Hitler? Live in Russia
7 years ago. Yeah, but, I don't want to. What? It couldn't happen here. I mean, Trump's about to be elected. You think that he's some sort of some marvelous champion of democracy? I mean, give me a break. You never know when this is going to happen. People in 1920s Germany had no clue it was going to happen.
Well, at least it sounds like you're anti-Trump, at least.
Well, I'm not. I'm a libertarian.
Hey, Joe, passionate call, man. We got a bunch of people at home, but thanks so much for checking in. All right, there we go. There's Joe. Okay,
Go ahead.
1791.
I need to get my father on the line. He's a lawyer. Fred should come on here and expouse about the Second Amendment, because I've heard it 1,000 times at many, many different dinners. But the whole concept that the Second Amendment was created, it's very much misconstrued, the Second Amendment today.
So was the First Amendment.
How so?
Because the First Amendment doesn't mean you can just say whatever you want without consequence, which people think it does.
Yeah, well, people get that confused too. Yes, you're right. I could say lots of things about my boss. I won't necessarily go to jail, but you will get fired.
You'll get fired because you can't say them.
Right.
You might not get arrested.
You might have committed
a crime, but you can still get fired. It doesn't prevent you from sounding like an idiot.
Right. Right. 312-981-7200.
We should sneak in Jimmy real fast.
All right, let's get Jimmy in here. Jimmy, go ahead, Jimmy.
Good afternoon. The last caller was saying that to deny somebody carry a firearm, you have to bring them to trial to deny them their Second Amendment rights. And what we need to ask is, why did that last shooter, why was he not brought to trial? It's not the gun. It's the person behind the trigger. It's not the tool that's used. It's the person using the tool. Now, if that guy has made some statements that he's pro-ISIS, you can't run into his house in the middle of the night and arrest him. But certainly, you could have some James Bond-esque type of character that works for the government to at least follow him wherever he goes during the course of his day, during the climate we have now in this country. If you take someone's gun away and they have intentions of killing someone, they'll just use another tool. In New York City, for instance, the worst mass murder that ever took place besides 9/11 was carried out with a 5-gallon can of gasoline. That was the Happy Land Social Club. So it's taking the guns away. It's the wrong strategy. You need to focus on the person behind the gun, not the gun itself. The gun is a harmless tool. It's the person that's dangerous.
Okay, that's fine, Jimmy, except they were working on the person. They had interviewed this guy in 2013. They interviewed him in 2014. They knew. The guy hadn't committed a crime, though. You can't just arrest somebody if he hasn't done anything.
No, I'm not saying arrest him.
but at least have some CIA or FBI guy following him around.
So you're going to sign one to every single dude?
Yeah, that's what I'm...
And why does he need an AR-15?
We have the money for that. We could make the money for that. We could get the money for that. We have... This country has the most money in the world. We'll find a way.
We do?
Our security.
What's our...
Well,
how much are we in debt?
Jimmy... Great call, man. I appreciate you adding to the topic.
We talked about that, though, didn't we? It's about the person. It really is.
And you can have your tool, but why does it need to be an AR-15?
I don't think it has to be an AR-15.
It most definitely does not have to be an AR-15. But like what he's talking about there, we need to have social services in place for people that are in need of help. And if you start stripping all those away because... we're spending X amount of dollars this way and that way, and as you just mentioned, Adam, I mean, how broke is the state we're living in, and when are we ever going to get a budget, and how are people who actually absolutely need help that can't afford it, how are they going to get it, and if they don't get it, what does that lead to? Those are terrible questions with bad answers, and that's where we're living, man. State can't even get a budget. Social services, people that actually, you know, mental illness, people that need help, not available. What do you think that person's going to do at some point? And then that stuff comes home to roost, man, all day. With Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. More of your calls coming back, 312-981-7200, 720 WGN. WGN, this is The Beat. Talking about the tragic terrorist attack in Orlando today. We'll get back to the sports next weekend, which is Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Advance Father's Day to you two.
Thank
gentlemen.
You. Thank you. I won't be here.
I'll be here.
I will be here Saturday next week, and I will be out of town next Sunday, so I will miss you, Jarrett.
Okay.
I apologize.
No worries.
I will see you soon. It's probably actually great news for you. Sweet.
No, actually, I like when you're here.
Oh, that's so nice of you. I feel the same way. All right, well, let's...
You guys done?
I kind of want to hug it out, but let's let's get back to the phone lines here. 312-981-7200. A lot of the talk has been about gun control and, There's a million other ways to look at what's going on. Dave, actually, let's see. Let's get Marie first. She's been waiting for over half an hour on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Marie.
Hi. I just want to say something. What happened early this morning was a crime of hate.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the crime of hate because he did that against the LGBT people.
Mm-hmm.
And also called that a crime of terrorism because he pledged allegiance to ISIS. And we need to get serious about the things that's going on right now. This is just reality just hitting us in the face right now to see the truth that hate really exists between many people. This is not just people just saying, you know, we're not haters no more because, you know, we love everybody. That's not true. I'm an African-American single mom. I have to worry about my son every day. Has he go to school and from school? Hate does exist. It doesn't matter whether it's the LGBT or the Black, the Hispanics, or whoever. It exists. People need to wake up and smell the coffee because this is reality hitting close to home this morning.
Well, Marie, no one is denying that there's a lot of hate in the world. Like, what's step one in the Marie playbook as to outside of just awareness? Because I think people are aware.
But you know what? There's a lot of guns out there that's in the wrong hands.
Okay.
Back in the days when my oldest son was a teenager, back in the 80s, they were doing, curfew. What happened that they had stopped the curfew? We have a lot of young kids, that's not even teenagers, younger than teens, out there late at night. Maybe some of these parents need to control their kids more. We need to get those guns out. Yes, we do. But most of the gangs that used to be out there in the past are not out there right now. They're either locked up or dead. The ones that are out there right now are amateurs. They need to get all these kids off the streets.
All right, Marie. Thank you very much. I mean, that now we're talking the local issue, which is a huge issue.
It just brings it back home, and which is...
Well, the city... I mean, listen, for me, I'm in my early 40s. I grew up just like anybody. Like, there's different times in the city where I felt like a lot of love going around, right?
Yeah.
First time in my life was Harold Washington, early 80s. Mm-hmm. There was a feeling of goodness there in the mayor's office that really I don't think we've had before or since in my lifetime. And then Harold passed away early. And then, to be honest, the only other time that I really felt some serious love in this city was Jackie Robinson West. Like, that story, before it completely went sideways, you had a lot of people downtown, on State Street, having rallies, white, Black, inner city, suburbs, a lot of people wanting to shine a positive light.
We need more of those stories.
We do.
And it sucks that even that was not fully it appeared to be. Now, the kids still won, but...
I remember that time. Were we still on the game?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember just the love and people just kind of coming together, and It was a different time.
It was. It felt different. It was unbelievable. I was out there on the street with a tape recorder interviewing people.
I remember that.
And I was. You could feel it. It was unbelievable. And then, you know, that's why I fought so hard against, like, who cares if they were pulled from different districts? You're ruining the whole story. I really didn't. Those kids had an amazing experience, and the city had an amazing experience. So it just sucked that it went sideways. But it doesn't matter. But that's like a point in the city where I felt like there was actually some unity. And then just gone. See you later. That lasted for 5 seconds. 312-981-7200. Real fast, Mike. I know you've been waiting long. We want to hit news on time at 4:30. You got about 30 seconds, Mike. Go ahead.
All right, no problem. I just wanted to say, all politics and everything aside, people need to be educated about what's happening with the guns. An AR-15 is no different than a hunting rifle, except for the way it feels and looks. It's still one trigger pull, one bullet. Outlaw the AR-15, he carries an extra gun in there. There's still 20, 30 people that he's injuring every time he pulls that trigger. It's not a matter of stricter gun control against certain guns. It's a matter of the guns in the wrong hands. You know, you bring it to a local issue. Chicago has one of the highest crime rates with gun violence, and it's got some of the strictest gun laws in the country. So it's a matter of making sure that we're educated about the guns that we're using and that we're also taking responsibility for our own actions at the same time. But eliminating the AR-15 would not have stopped this act. The guy was determined to do something, whether it was with multiple handguns or with a single-shot assault rifle.
Got you, Mike. We'll follow up on that call after news, 720 WGN.
Thank you, David. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton here with you. This is The Beat on 720 WGN here till 6 o'clock on this Sunday in Chicago. We took a phone call right before the news of somebody telling us that a handgun could do the same damage as an AR-15.
You got audio for that?
So during... Would you like me to play that audio? Or no? I don't know that I need to.
I don't know.
It's kind of intense. But what I did during the break was I looked up a video of someone shooting an AR-15 like 2-liter bottles of pop. And let me tell you, a handgun could not do what that guy just did with this gun.
No.
Those bullets came out pretty quickly.
I was listening. It was significant.
I made both of you guys listen to it.
Have you ever been to the range?
I have not, and I don't plan on going.
I've been, Jared. You smile like you're the only one here. I've been.
I'm not. Well, I grew up in a house where I had a shooting gallery in my basement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My dad was a hunter. He loved hunting, and, yeah, underneath my basement. And if you went into his old... his old office, there's three glass windows, and if you pushed one, it would open up. There was a secret compartment. You can go in the back, and my dad had a full range where he had bows and all that stuff.
34 had his own range.
Yeah, man. My dad loved hunting. That was his thing.
I mean, when I was doing radio down in Houston, I was living with gentleman, 63-year-old divorcee. He had a sweet house. I knew I wasn't going to be there super long, so I rented a room on Craigslist with this guy, Jimbo. He took me up with some steaks for dinner every now and then. He'd be home with his whiskey at 6:30, legs up on the table, renting out rooms. Jimbo was a character, so he's one day he's like, "You want to go to the range with me and my son? Sure, let's go." So
you remember what you shot?
No, it was just a handgun though.
Oh, okay,
I was there with my girlfriend at the time. We both. It was a fun day. I mean, I'm not going to say I was.
That was a big thing, though, growing up. Dad had, you know, all locks on guns. I mean, everything was how it should be, behind glasses with locks on them. And it would always teach me and tell me the responsibilities and that these aren't toys and, you know, what you're using for. So, you know, having parents raise you and tell you what it is. I mean, they give my dad set the platform for me for down the line of like, this is not something you play with and that these guns are serious.
I could give you some more stats on guns in America. From a balanced to just to present both sides, 31, that's the percentage of American households that reported having a firearm. This was back in 2014. That's the lowest level of reported gun ownership in the last 40 years. That was back
31%.
That was back in 2014. That number has gone up. 23 million, that's the number of background checks the FBI conducted in 2015, which is nearly three times the 8.5 million completed in 2000. So background checks for people who wanting more, they've done more, but there's, I guess there's just, we still have holes in the system here.
Well, more people are buying guns, aren't they?
Yes.
Every time this happens.
Right. And, let's see. I'll give you a couple others here. 80%, that's the percent of people who carry out mass shootings who are using legally obtained firearms. So you're talking about, you know, well, they're going to get the guns anyway. Well, most of them, with the laws that we have in place right now, they're just simply not tough enough for the people that are committing the mass shootings, because 80% of them are, they have the guns legally. 312-981-7200. If you want to weigh in on Orlando. Let's get Dave in here on Donald Trump's tweet, which is we haven't talked about, but you can, Dave. Go ahead.
Oh, you touched so many while I've been listening to you guys that reality sets in and so much. I'll be more than happy to talk about Trump, but a couple of things that have come up that you guys are talking about. The woman that was on prior to the newscast, she spoke nationally. You were talking about it being local. She spoke nationally. What she's talking about, or what she talked about, can be not only here, it could be in Washington, it could be in Atlanta, it can be in San Diego, it can be in San Francisco, it can be in Detroit. All of those things that she spoke of are true and succinct to the point that she was making. Her kids and Afro-American children are at the highest risk of being murdered on the street from people who have guns, handguns, bought illegally, and firing them at will at opposing gang members who they think are out to get them, who in reality really are. So it's a fight that's going on all the way around. That said, there's the old line of no fear. Well, N-O fear should actually be K-N-O-W fear. If we all take the time to know fear, we can have a better understanding, not only to ourselves, but to those around us who are experiencing fear from what we have experienced overnight in Orlando. Also, the Trump line that comes up was absolutely ridiculous. I look at Trump as Donald J. Trump, A-S-S, A period, S period, S period, always speaks stupidly because he grabs onto things by the cuff and throws out remarks who, if he were to become president, would have us in such hot water so fast we wouldn't be able to shake our heads and say, why did we elect this man in the office? He commented, he never said one iota, little teeny tiny bit about the loss for all those people down in Florida. He had to go immediately and attack President Obama and call him whatever he wanted to call him and saying that he should resign in disgrace as the President of the United States because he is not admitting that we have a terrorist situation. We do have a terrorist situation, not only internationally, but we have an interior terrorist situation, which is just as bad as what we're getting from the lone wolf situations that the ISIS is calling for. What we need to do and understand is that the government does not have neither the money nor the personnel to walk around and hold hands with all of these people who make nasty remarks. They can only cover so much. We as individuals have to step up and keep our eyes and our ears open. And when we hear something, when somebody's actually talking way out of line, make note of it and turn that over. Not to be tattletale, but to be safe for everybody, our families, our neighbors, our people.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you. A lot there. This was Trump's tweet today. At Real Donald Trump. Appreciate the congrats for being right on radical Islamic terrorism. I don't want congrats. I want toughness and vigilance. We must be smart! Exclamation point. Who's congratulating
yeah,
him?
Yeah, who's congratulating
and him? And what are you talking about? Like, what is wrong with you, honestly?
And just to prove that he had no sensitivity towards what was going on, an hour later he posted on Facebook, "While I greatly appreciate everybody congratulating me for being right on radical Islamic terrorism, I don't want congratulations. I want toughness and vigilance. We must finally be smart."
So he did the same tweet on Facebook an hour later?
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, sorry, that was insensitive. It was, I'm going to double down and put it on Facebook an hour later.
Well, that's that's why when I was just watching the president speak today, I was just kind of imagining, what would this look like if the real Donald got in there? Which
I didn't think about that until you said it today.
Yeah.
I mean, right when you said it, I had this vision and I just...
I mean, it's just a horrifying vision, let's be honest. 312-981-7200. Reggie, you're on 720 WGN. Thanks for calling, Reggie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Reggie.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think people are getting off on the wrong area. I think we should just keep remembering that 103 people went out last night to enjoy their evening, and 50 didn't go home. So I think that when we start taking away from the real thing and talking about gun control, we're missing the point. We really are. I feel bad for those people.
Oh, and so
when I heard about it this morning, I will have to admit, I thought that it was ISIS. I really did. And that's really kind of bad say that, generalizing people, but I'm just so sad every time I hear it. Every time. I don't know what to do about it.
Well, you called in today, Reggie, and your voice and your opinion here, and that's good enough for right now, so thank you for that. You know, when I first heard about it, and I was in the bubble, I woke up this morning, I was living my normal Sunday morning dream of just doing my sports thing, and I was heading
playing softball.
I was heading to play softball. My early morning softball. I was gonna, you know, and you called me. It's like, so are we gonna talk Orlando? I'm like, what did the Orlando Magic do? Like, I was not paying attention to the news cycle when I woke up today.
I didn't even get you to pick up your phone. I called you twice.
Yeah, well, is that true?
Yes.
I didn't even see that.
It's all good.
Okay, well, my bad. Regardless, so Adam, you told me, and I'm like, that sounds like a hate crime. Not a terrorist attack, but then you're like, no, they're calling it a terrorist attack, which obviously I was not informed at the moment.
Apparently his father, the shooter's father, said that he was upset about seeing two men kiss in Miami.
Ooh, can't have that.
But he did, I mean, make that 911 call and, you know, pledges allegiance to ISIS, right? So it sounds like it's both. Doesn't it sound like it's both?
No, listen, ISIS has enormous homophobia. They've been throwing gay people off the top of buildings.
I heard that this morning.
So this is, it all comes together. I mean, this is not, this act is not unaligned with ISIS. So listen, it's a terrorist attack, it's a hate crime, whatever it is. I mean, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, does it?
That's the root, though, you guys. It comes down to a point where we have to have respect, man. I was always brought up, you have to have respect for one another. We all have different backgrounds, things that we believe in, but to have respect for one another, if you respect somebody, these are things that wouldn't happen. I know it sounds easy, but the same way my parents would say, treat people like how you want to be treated, right?
Yep.
Come on now, when it comes down to it, I know it sounds cliche, but that's basically how we have to be able to live. If we can't get to that point, we're never going to make headway, but this world's got other stuff going on as well in it that's kind of made it all jumbled up, the reason why we have so many issues that are going on.
312-981-7200. Just make the world that much better. Just one little Adam Hogue increment at a time, right? I mean, end of the day, not gonna fix the whole thing, but like just be a better person the
be
next
a better
day.
Person, treat people how you want to be treated, man.
We'll take a much more of your calls.
Hey, can I lighten it up just for 1 second?
Sure.
Although I don't know how much I'm lighting it up because this happened at a funeral the other day.
You're Adam Hogue. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Jared Payton. This is 720 WGN The Beat.
Go ahead.
Did you know that people actually cut into funeral processions and just to run red lights? Because that happened to me the other day.
You're saying that somebody that wasn't in the funeral procession
right.
went into the funeral procession to make it through the red light?
Correct.
Okay, that's terrible, but a genius strategy.
I was in a pretty long funeral procession on Tuesday. A friend of mine's father passed away. He was a Chicago police officer, so it was a long one. And a guy cut me off in the line. First of all, you're cutting someone off in a funeral procession, so you're already a bad person. But he did it right before a red light. We're all turning left. So he makes the left turn, then gets in the other lane, zooms past the rest of the line.
That's awful. Really bad, but brilliant all at the same time.
I would never do that, though.
I
mean, that's just being a really bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do that either, but my rules of the road.
Are your rules of the road?
I don't have many. I bend them. I'm not well-liked on the road. I'll admit it. It's true. I am definitely the guy that is going to be in the far right lane going by everybody and merging at the last second, and then someone's giving me the one-finger salute. That's me.
Hey.
I'll own it.
Not to tie this all back to what we've been talking about, but you got to be careful with that, and I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's not a one-finger salute these days.
That's absolutely true.
Because you don't know who's got what in what car.
You're
absolutely right.
That's where I was going with earlier when we were talking about getting on the highway was – you don't know, and you start looking at what we've seen here in Chicago, and you have to be very conscious, and it makes me not even want to go get on the highway. I was coming back from Gary the other night, Friday night, and was just praying, hopefully I get through all the way back home, and trying to find other ways to get around going through the city, which I couldn't to get to my house, but it's what I have to think. That's what I was thinking about.
And I don't blame you.
And I'm coming home at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, when I'm seeing these things are happening on the news.
Well, people are just so amazingly angry nowadays. And I
don't understand all these highway shootings, though. Are these road rage incidents, or is it just random shooting?
I mean, I see it all the time. I was late for work the other day, and I was rolling a stop sign, and guy sees me, and he's
Mark Carmen. He drives a silver Honda Accord, right? It's Accord?
Thinking about upgrading, but yeah.
And what are the license plate numbers? If you want to give them to the police?
Don't know that. Can't remember. So, I mean, this guy, he screamed at me. It's 8 a.m. And I'm like, relax. He's like, don't tell me. I'm like, okay, now. Like, I can't put myself in that position. So, hey, Carmen, yourself, wake up earlier. Don't be getting to work.
I had to have another day. I'm driving down Route 60. It happens sometimes to everybody. I didn't see somebody in my blind spot. Started going in the left lane just a little bit.
It's 0 to 100.
Little bit. And I realized it, got back. This lady zooms around me, stops, flicks me off, and then zooms off. I'm like, did you really have to do that? Just relax. It happens to people.
And that's the other thing, too.
Settle down.
If you're the one that's doing that, you might run into the wrong dude.
Right.
It might not be
Adam Hogue you're flipping off. I'm obviously not going to do anything about it.
Right.
Neither am I.
Exactly myself. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to tell you to relax. But one of these days, you're going to run into someone who's not going to tell you to relax. Who's going to get out of the car.
Carm, take your time when you're on the road, please.
JP, I that was a good cathartic moment for me. Just I got it out there, and I realize how wrong I am, and I'm going to try to
maybe
do better.
A crawl through the stop sign, not a roll.
Just a little roll. Okay. That sounded
like an extreme roll.
It was aggressive. I was wrong. but I didn't. I mean, this the response was 10 times of what I was doing. Justin, you're on 720 WGN as we spray in different directions, talking about the tragedy in Orlando today. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I was gonna make mention. You guys are in a million different directions right now, huh?
This happens sometimes, hey. Justin.
Hey, you must be new to the show.
No, definitely not. I love the show. I just like to make mention to it.
Appreciate it, Justin.
I believe the caller's name was Reggie, and I want to point out that it was. It's obviously a good thing to remember these people and recognize that these people were doing an innocent, normal, everyday thing. But I think my biggest question and my biggest concern is it does kind of stem and go back to gun control. You know, why is somebody that has been not just one time, but multiple times been looked at by the FBI able to pick up and or receive legally?
Right.
Why are they allowed to purchase any kind of weapons?
Because of a Second Amendment that was written in the 1700s.
Well, I obviously that's the answer, and I understand that.
Well, no, and I'm agreeing with you. I'm just pointing out the absurdity of it. I mean, to me, that's no different than these people that are against gay marriage because the Bible that was written how many years ago says it. And that's what they go to. I mean, times change. We learn things as a culture of what's wrong and what's right. And you can change things that are written in books years and years and years ago. But keep going, Justin.
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's my only question is somebody who is and I'll reiterate it, you know, somebody who's been investigated by the FBI, not just the police, the FBI.
Right.
Right.
Is able to legally obtain and purchase them lawfully, everything like that, any kind of firearms, any kind of weapon.
Right.
That just to me is absurd, and I think things, you know, in regards to our Second Amendment rights, yes, we should be able to obtain guns and weapons, whatever. I completely agree with that.
Thank you.
However, I don't agree with, you know.
Right. And no, yeah, no one's saying repeal the Second Amendment. Yeah, yeah. We're saying tweak things. You can tweak laws. You can change them so that doesn't happen because that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Buyers that purchase firearms through private sales in the United States don't have to pass a background check before obtaining possession of the weapon. That includes sales to criminals, felons, and people with a history of severe mental illness. I mean, how that's possible, what you're talking about, Justin, is incredible. 312-981-7200. We can do better, and we've got one more hour with you on The Beat, 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Got another hour here on The Beat. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton.
Yes.
Just a reset. The shooter today, we'll call him O.
Yes.
29 years old. 50 dead. More than 50 wounded. He called 911, pledges allegiance to ISIS, according to two law enforcement officials. ISIS supporters cheered the massacre online. He also had support for the two Boston Marathon bombers, which made me think, where can you go? You go to a movie theater? Trouble. Go to a nightclub, trouble. You go to school, trouble. You go and run a marathon, trouble.
Not I get everything.
I mean, I don't know where else. Where,
not safe for anywhere.
I mean, it's pretty incredible. Here's some stats for you. Let's see here. Every day, 48 children and teens are shot in murders, assaults, suicide attempts. Every day, 7 children and teens die from gun violence. 5 are murdered, 2 kill themselves. Every day, 41 children and teens are shot and survive. 31 shot in assault, 1 survives a suicide, 8 are shot unintentionally. Every day, 297 people in America are shot in murders, assaults, suicides, and suicide attempts. Every day. Let's sink in again. 297 every day. Every day, 89 people die from gun violence. 31 are murdered. 55 kill themselves. 2 are killed unintentionally. 1 is killed by police intervention. 1 is intent unknown. Every day, 208 people are shot and survive. 151 shot in assault. 10 survive in a suicide, 45 are shot unintentionally, 2 are shot in police intervention. Okay, I probably maybe just over inundated you with stats, but there are some stats. That's from the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. So, for what that's worth, 312-981-7200. Who do you want to talk to, Adam Hoge?
Oh, let's talk to Tyler, because I think he has a good question that JP actually brought up earlier. That may have been during a break, but it's a good question.
Tyler, you're on 720 WGN.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
We're great, Tyler.
Tyler, can you turn down your radio, please, in the background?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry for that.
No problem.
The one big problem that I'm facing this is, how does somebody walk into a club like this with an ace, with the AR, am I right? Is that the weapon he used, AR?
Yes.
How does someone walk into a club like that with that size of a weapon, let alone any kind of place? Like, how does somebody not notice that?
That was kind of the question that I was posing during the break, man. I just don't – I guess the whole thing is, did he come in? Because you look how big it is. You have to have some type of big jacket or something over that.
Exactly. Like, how does somebody not notice a bag this size? And I also heard he had something strapped on him. Like, I get it's a club, but I feel like somebody of everyone there should have noticed that or said something to somebody.
I just don't know where he just came in. Kind of, you know, shooting or whatever, because I mean, just to sneak a gun like that in, we looked at the dimensions. It's a pretty big gun. It's hard to hide.
Tyler, thanks for the phone call. It's a very fair question. I mean, what does that look like? I don't know if we're ever going to get a street camera view like we did of the Boston Marathon bombings, where you see the two brothers walking around with backpacks and dropping them off, which was just brutal, for lack of a better word. I have no idea how that happens. I do know that you can walk down the street nowadays and people will be, people legit get attacked and other people just stand there and watch because they're afraid to get involved.
Yeah, that's been an issue.
Right? And North Avenue Beach.
Videotaping.
Those are crazy.
I mean, you're having brawls at the beach because people are getting hammered and are completely outside themselves. And then what are you going to do? Let's say you're at the beach. You're going to jump in the middle of that to try to break it up? I don't think so. I mean, I'm not. And that's probably wrong on my part. I mean, the best thing you can do if you are in a situation like last night in Orlando is to stop the shooter. That's the best thing you can do. Next best thing is to get out of there. But if you are a true hero, you're stopping that guy. Which is a pretty, I have no idea what that's like. Right? I mean, you're going to go...
But there were people that were helping others while this guy's still shooting.
Right.
And instead of running away.
Yeah.
And those are the stories that we'll probably hear in the coming days, and that's...
6-year-old texting him too. Yeah. Don't forget Christina Grimmie. We mentioned Christina, who was shot tragically yesterday, 20 years old. Singer on The Voice. Potential superstar, no longer... gunned down by a complete lunatic.
Also in Florida.
Also in Florida. Yeah. Not that it's...
I mean, it's everywhere.
Florida is everywhere. Jerry, you have been waiting the longest. You're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate this. The first time calling into any radio show. I just want to say, I think you guys, you did say you wander around in what you talk about, but to me, you're mixing apples and oranges, talking about gun control and there's gangbangers or crazy people kill other people, and these acts of terror. It seems like you're, whatever you want to say, walking on eggshells or not wanting to call a spade a spade. It is an act of terror, and people are always acting surprised. I understand the authorities are always looking for a tie to ISIS or something, but how many times have we heard that people are saying, don't bother to come to Syria to fight? Stay in place in Europe or America or Canada, Australia, and kill people. And every time, you just were mentioning it, every time there's a shooting in a cafe, a restaurant, you know, a gay bar, a club, wherever, people act surprised. Like, you know, how many times do you need to hear it? What would it matter if there's an ISIS link? Just like after the Libyan thing, we were looking for, I think it was Al-Qaeda, Al-Taliban, forgetting that for 40 years that guy was in power, and he certainly had cronies who would have been bitter that they were pulled from power. What if they were backing Boko Haram, Abu Sayyaf in the Philippines? What does it matter? What you're pussyfooting around and not addressing square on, as our president yet again did not,
is
Islamic terrorists. And they kill mostly Muslims, but they attack Buddhists. They attack Hindus, they attack Christians, they attack Jews, mostly Muslims. But, I mean, every time one of these things happen, I just want to say, keep letting them in.
You're doing a damn good job.
Oh, okay. Okay, Jerry.
Nice of Donald Trump to call the program.
All right. Listen, Jerry, we've had a lot of attacks in this country. You can't look at one group of people and point the finger. It's not accurate. It's not fair. Now, today's attack was a terrorist attack. We've said it a million times. Mateen was on the radar of U.S. security officials for some time. All right? FBI Special Agent in Charge Ronald Hopper said today the FBI had taken an interest in Mateen twice. We've had that in every newscast. Once in 2013 after he made inflammatory comments to coworkers, and then again the next year after he was linked to another U.S. radical. But you can't... I'm sorry.
It matters that it's ISIS because these people are in our country.
And there's
and they're getting radicalized right here.
And this guy...
And our gun laws are letting them buy a gun the week they shoot up a place when the FBI knows about it.
This guy grew up in New York City. Come on, man.
Internet. This is our country. It's happening right here. That's the point.
You do realize... how much the melting pot overall has benefited you, from doctors to any walk of life where you've probably needed help and have gotten it. Well, this is not what the country is about.
Nope.
Pointing at a group of people and saying they need to leave. That is it's really terrible, man.
I really hate to do this, but we look at what happened this morning, and we look at, and Carm, you asked a question about being. Does it kind of water down about what we see so much of in the city? We last week being at WGN TV and looking at once the weather hit nice and all the shootings that were happening in our own city.
Yeah.
And people are sitting around not even thinking about it. There are things that are going on, and we have to figure out a way to be able to come together and figure out how we manage this. Because just trying to put somebody in a box and say this is all that, you can't do that.
No, it's really...
Build your wall, keep people
out, you can't just put
somebody, do all that. This dude was born in New York City.
And the other part of it, that's not happening.
No,
okay?
It's not going to happen.
You can have that. You can say it all. That's not happening, ever. Even if the Don got into, or whatever you want to call him, even if he was elected, it still ain't happening. So let's try to find an actual realistic one-step-at-a-time way. Kevin, I guess, thinks we're tiptoeing around terrorism as well. All right, Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, thank you. The one thing I want to say right away is we already have a wall between Mexico and the United States. Okay, I'm a Trump supporter. I am so tired. When was the last time you heard a Jewish extremist killing people? A Christian extremist killing people? A Buddhist extremist killing people. They're all Muslim extremists.
It's not true. It's not true. Who were the killers in Bowling for Columbine? Who was the killer in Oklahoma City? Come on, man. That's just not true.
Or Sandy Hook, right? Sandy Hook was just...
Come on.
You know, we made it pretty far into the show before we got to this
point. I knew I shouldn't
have
gone back to back. That was my fault.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's 5:17. We started at 3. I'm actually surprised. I would have expected that at 3:17.
Jared, you're leaving us on that note?
Yeah, I got to leave you guys on that note. Some of these things, I have to go do a TV show.
What's
going on? I haven't watched any sports today, so hopefully, I don't know where it's going to be.
It's just one of those days.
It's one of those days. So
what's coming up on your show?
I really have no clue. That's why I'm going to go upstairs and make a phone call. I know.
Am I still on your show?
I would love to have you sit down with me. Hopefully, we can
talk
today.
Here.
Yeah, he's going to come sit down with me.
How come I can't get
in? Well, listen, let me tell you guys
hashtag B-ball crazy.
Both you guys, for real, to be here on a day like today and to be able to be on the airwaves with you two gentlemen, it was a pleasure. On a hard day like today, to be able to sit down with you two guys and to talk about this with the people out there, I just want to tell you I appreciate it.
Back at you, JP.
Thanks, JP.
It was fun.
Appreciate your honesty today, too.
Good to be with you.
I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Good to be with you as well. And if you do need topics for the show today, I was 2-for-4 in game 2 of the softball doubleheader. First one.
Singles?
One was a triple. Little shot to the gap. So if you need an outstanding softball performer, talk about that.
Triple in softball. Triples. That must mean you're slow.
It. I was about to say it. 10 years.
Should have been a home run.
10 years ago, I'm walking home. Now, That back right hammy all the way up in the gluteus maximus.
You get the third, you're like, I'm good. I'm just going to sit down right here.
Yeah. Summer baseball, that's not what I want to say. Weekday mornings, 4 to 10, it has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News is Chicago's must-watch morning news. More of your calls coming back, 720 WGN.
Real quick to that caller we had before the break, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen here, till 6 o'clock on the beat. That kind of narrowing it down and inaccurately putting this all on Muslims and saying that all these shootings are from Muslims or by Muslims, which, as you very quickly pointed out, Carm, is just not true. But that spouting that kind of nonsense is the kind of hate that we're trying to eliminate.
Right. That's correct.
And it's the kind of hate that I think is part of the reason why these things keep happening. So stop it with that. Be more inclusive. Accept everybody. Stop. Just stop it. It's so frustrating. And the fact that we even have a presidential candidate on a platform consistently saying that stuff is mind-boggling.
He's only saying it because he thinks it will resonate with people and help him get elected.
And apparently it is.
Right, which is the real scary part. Here, let me just give some stats to back you up there. I did one-day stats. Here's one-year stats. Ages 0 to 19, okay? Over 17,000, the exact number, 17,499 American children and teens are shot in murders, assaults, suicides, suicide attempts in a year. 2,677 kids die from gun violence. 14,822 kids survive gun injuries. They weren't all shot by Muslims. I mean, come on. That's just, it's really sad. It's sad. It's ignorant. It's pathetic. There. Those are words. 312-981.
They're the best words.
I don't know what that's from, but I think it's funny.
Donald Trump.
Those are the best words.
He has the best words.
I have the best words. They're really good words. Nobody has my words. I have amazing words. Don't congratulate me for my words. Sean, you want to talk conceal and carry? Go ahead. You're on 720 WGN.
All right. First, my heart goes out to the victims. That's number one. And my first rebuttal is about your statistics. You can bring up those same statistics about, you know, car accidents or, you know, all kinds of things you use in everyday life. But my real point is, because I am a concealed carry advocate, I believe that if people in the place, the bartenders, the bar back, you know, maybe you know, two guys in back, you had weapons, I think the carnage would have been a lot less. It goes to the same point like what you were talking about with North Avenue. If a couple law-abiding citizens had guns, they could quell situations.
Sean, like how do you know that they didn't?
Who?
How do you know that there weren't people in there that had guns? How do you know that there weren't employees?
I don't. I'm sorry. All I heard was that there's an officer, an off-duty officer. That's all. I've been working on my roof all day, so. But I heard the conversation. I'm like, well, you know, I believe that, you know, if citizens, good citizens, you know, law-abiding citizens, were there to protect other citizens, you know, these things probably wouldn't happen so much.
Sean, do you want to go to a nightclub where everyone's carrying a gun?
Hey, look, if anybody is hell-bent on blowing something up, they will. You can't stop it.
Yeah, but
the problem is you can't.
But you can make it a little harder.
How?
By not letting somebody who's consistently investigated by the FBI have access to an assault rifle.
True.
Which is all we've said.
That's the bureaucracy.
And that's all we've said.
We're never going to get over that. They've never been on time on any attacks on this country or its citizens. They've never been on time. What makes you think they're going to be on time next time?
Well, that's not true. In fact, and thanks for the phone call. Someone was stopped today before the L.A. Pride Parade in Indiana. Man had guns and on him and was going to the parade and was stopped. So they do stop him.
Yeah, listen, they're not doing everything out there as far as law enforcement, FBI, CIA, whoever you want to name. But they're stopping threats all the time, man.
That was today, by the way. Today. Oh. After this.
Yeah.
Since the shooting in Orlando. Today. So they do stop them.
We appreciate the phone call and the discussion, Sean. 312-981-7200 and the people that are texting in. Have we lost where would that be?
Our minds?
No, not our minds. Our
that happens.
Our guts. There's a word. All right. We have the 5:30 news and everything and an update for you from Orlando next. 720 WGN. For the record, more on the shooter today whose parents were from Afghanistan, but he was born in New York, moved to Florida, about 100 miles from Orlando. He was divorced in 2011. His ex-wife said today that he was violent, mentally unstable, and beat her repeatedly when they were married. She also said she met him online about 8 years ago and moved to Florida to marry him, which is crazy. And then her quote to the Washington Post, he was not a stable person. He beat me. He would just come home and start beating me up because the laundry wasn't finished or something like that.
Ooh.
So the point is that, you know, yes, we're talking, it's part of this conversation, of course, is about gun control. But it's, as when we played the 5-minute clip from the president earlier today, no one on this show or the president of the United States, who actually matters, is trying to take away the guns. It's trying to make it harder to get for people like the terrorist from today who killed 50 people.
And
how anybody can argue, I just don't get it.
Yeah. And again, to the caller and the unfortunately way too many people out there that want to blame all of this, all these mass shootings on Muslims. Do we have to go through them?
We don't, but you can if you like. I'll listen.
Sandy Hook.
Who was that?
White dude.
Right.
Aurora, Colorado. White dude.
Who killed Christine Grimmie yesterday?
White dude.
Okay.
From Fort Lauderdale.
So maybe we should ban all white people from the country. Oh, no, we're not going to do that, but I'm white.
This guy
I'd like to stay.
The guy they stopped in Santa Monica today? White dude from Indiana.
Well, right. So, just come on, man. We should be smarter than that. We should be. I actually believe we are. I do. I believe that's like a vocal minority. But it's a pretty loudly vocal.
No, but Donald Trump tweeted that he appreciates the congrats for being right on radical Islamic terrorism.
That's our guy. That's the great candidate. All right, Charlie. You're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Charlie.
Okay. Number one, I've been in the Army car industry for 35 years, okay?
Okay.
Always armed. They did a survey one time of robberies, and the last robbery that got hit at my company, they were in an underground garage. Our messenger got shot at, he returned fire. The average number of shots, 8. The number hit the guys that tried to rob him, none. But he took out 3 cars. Unless you know, in a situation like that, everybody in that nightclub could have been armed. It wouldn't have done any good. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. And then my second thing.
Yeah.
All right. I've got my FOID card and I'm a security guard, so I've got what they call a perk card, meaning I'm registered with the state. One FBI interviewed, lose my FOID card, lose my perk card, can't purchase a weapon. How the hell did this guy, with 3 interviews, purchase weapons in Florida?
Amazing.
That's what I don't understand.
I don't know.
And one more thing, I went to a large sporting goods store right over the Indiana border, walked in there. And I fire quite a bit, and I got a .22. So I walked in, and I said, I'd like 100 rounds of .22. I said, what do I need? Guy goes, you got money? I says, yeah. He goes, okay. No IDs. I'm 65, so obviously I'm over 18. Nothing. That's what's wrong with this stuff, is that these people, there's no, why do you want to check my background? So this stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah, and no one's saying, Charlie, great call. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
No one's saying, by the way, that with background checks that it's going to be a perfect world.
No, it's still good.
It's an incremental move.
And it's everything. It's the people that want to bring up mental instability. It's part of that, too. In some cases, it is the Islamic radical, the radical Islamic terrorists. It's all of this, but when when we have a guy like this who's buying a gun this week, who has been interviewed by the FBI multiple times, that's the part that's just so hard to get by and showing the lack of progress in this country right now with gun control. And to Charlie's point there, I mean, in this nightclub, it's dark. There's loud music. There were interviews, witnesses said in many interviews today, didn't even know the guns were going off. Or the people were getting shot because of the music. They just thought it was part of the music at first.
Right.
So everyone's just supposed to go pull out the gun that's in their pocket to protect themselves?
I wonder if, and I doubt it, even if they're if they have video from it, if it'll be released, but and I don't know if I actually really
I don't want
to see that. Yeah. But just like, I mean, what just trying to put yourself in that spot, what in the world is that like? Which more and more people, and I understand the odds are very slim, but more and more people can tell stories about what exactly that is like nowadays. 312-981-7200. Mark, you are on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Sorry we're talking about this under this circumstance, but I am glad you guys are taking it on.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm a concealed carry holder as well. Mm-hmm. And as much as I would love to be able to say that, you know, that situation could have been mitigated, would be really unlikely. You know, with the, you know, nightclub scenes, you have no idea what's going on in there. But, you know, if you bring it back to home, I do believe that concealed carry has made a difference. And I think it takes a while. And like I told your screener, it's a matter of right now there is virtually no repercussion for even attempted, you know, a deadly crime. A guy can pull out a gun, he can do armed robbery, and there's virtually no repercussion. And unfortunately, the mass populace is completely unarmed and unaware. You know, a lot of them are on their cell phones and they're not even paying attention to their surroundings. So until that whole situation kind of turns around, and we need to start to kind of pay attention to one another. And, you know, I told your screener, I lived in an area out west a long time ago, you know, not a long time ago, but a time ago. And it, you know, you kind of knew your neighbor and everybody had a gun, and it was a different world. And it just wasn't everyone had a gun because we could. It was because they were used for necessity. And as far as, like, you know, varmints and stuff like that on ranches and things, it's completely different here. There's no way everyone needs a gun in Chicago to shoot a rat or something. But, you know, it's getting back to society and raising children and having respect for one another. And I think that's the brunt of it. And to further your point on the background checks and stuff, it's unfortunately such a bad situation. One of my customers actually does concealed carry classes and background checks, and there's not near enough to it. It's dealing with the government, you know, and that's the first problem is they make all these extraneous laws that don't matter. Because when you, at the end of the day, I'm speaking again of Chicago violence, nobody from the NRA is pulling those triggers, virtually nobody there. The guns that are getting pulled off the street from the violent crimes, they're not purchased legally. However, they're getting out there somewhere, and they're always going to be that way, and that's the problem. And that's what I believe is the strong stance for the concealed carry. And the officers I speak to, they're outnumbered. You know, and in light of everything that's been happening with the police department, they're doing their level best, but there's only so many of them, and they can't be everywhere. And that's a major problem, you know, all of us have to deal with. And that's an unfortunate thing. And until such time the government actually comes up with a more commonsensical approach to background checks, you know, I mean, if you're being investigated by the FBI, that should automatically conclude that the ability to purchase weaponry until such time you're cleared. I just think it's crazy how that can go on and on like that.
We got you, Mark. Appreciate you weighing in on many levels here. And listen, Mark, I got no problem with you concealing and carrying. I trust you from the 3 minutes of listening to you. There's just a lot of other people that I don't have the same trust in. End of the day.
Right. And I mean, I think a lot of the people we've talked to today, they're the people that... don't worry about it. No one's trying to. It gets back to what we started the show with. No one is trying to take your guns away.
Well, and there was
trying, but when members of Congress won't even listen to the kinds of things that we're talking about right here. With, if you missed the first hour of the show, what we played from President Barack Obama in a town hall meeting just 10 days ago, common sense gun laws is how he puts it. When members of Congress won't even listen to that because they're so frightened that the gun that they're hugging is going to get pulled away from them, when that's not at all what is trying to be eliminated here, that is where we're at, just a stupid impasse that shouldn't be there. It just shouldn't be there. And I don't know how many examples of this we have to go through before. I mean, Jesus.
And I listen.
Go home. Find your guns. Tell them you're going to be okay. No one's going to take you away from daddy. Okay? That's not what this is about.
Well, and the other side of it is like, look, man, if you think like you're some 50-year-old, 55-year-old, I don't know, man or woman, doesn't matter, at home, and you're going to go out and you're going to get your gun and you're going to put it in under your bed, or you're going to get it in a safe, and that one day when the big bad burglar comes around and you're going to go and find that gun and get it out of its safe and you're gonna square up and shoot him dead. Okay. I don't believe that's going to happen. I just don't. I somehow, some way, and I don't think you're ever going to be burglarized either. But God forbid if you were, I don't like your chances. I just don't.
Speaking of that, go, highly recommend you doing this. Google, when our show's over, please, Google Jim Jefferies, who's an Australian comedian. And he does just a brilliant take on America's gun control issue. Even if you're like the most pro-gun person out there, I think even you will laugh at this, because just the way he presents it, it's both hilarious and not hilarious because of like the stupidity in it. But just Jim Jefferies is his name. You can even just Google Australian comedian gun control, and it's the first thing that pops up. It's really good.
We'll take a couple more calls. We come back here. Brian Noonan is up at 6:00, and also, you know, I want to get back into it. It's not, we've talked a lot about guns, but there's a whole mentality out there, just how we are relating to each other, that I just want to touch on as we're wrapping it up here. 720 WGN.
Hey, speaking of treating each other better, taking care of your neighbor, how about Dave Plyer coming in?
Dave Plyer.
Just the clutchest Dave Plyer of all time.
WGN MVP. Management, if you are listening, you should know that Dave Plyer has... What is Dave Plyer? He's brought like...
Well, Dave Plyer's had enough. He said he's tired of there not being water in the studio and tired of there not being coffee. So he stocked the green room with coffee. I came in here today, and there's like 7 boxes of coffee in there, in the green room. And I'm going, who did this? This is amazing that I get in here. There's bottles of water. The whole producer's room over there, the downtown Danny Long has to sit in every day, that's usually filled with...
Not hydrated.
Who knows what, and there's no water. It's clean. It's clean, and there's water.
Some great hosting by Dave Plyer.
And then we're in the middle of our show... And we didn't know who did this. We had no idea who did this. We just thought it was a random Good Samaritan out there. Right in the middle of our show, of all the things I didn't expect to happen today, Dave Plyer walks in with a refrigerator.
Yeah, and that didn't look too light either. He's
he's just hauling in a refrigerator.
Lugging in refrigerators, bringing in water, having coffee. I'm like, you're a better person than me, Dave. You win, and I lose. Thank you very much. I mean, I've just been drinking out of the toilet for like the last 3 months, and I would never complain. I'm so happy to be here that it's okay. I'll go toilet water in the middle of the show.
Toilet water?
Absolutely. Why not?
Just stick your head right in
there. Right
in
there, baby.
A little thirsty?
Yeah. I've always, on some level, wanted to be a dog and just play all day and sleep and, you know, chase balls and then eat and get pet.
So if you listen to our shows the last 2 days, you've learned that Mark Harmon's pro hair in your sandwich and... fine with drinking toilet water.
Okay, well, I'm pro still eat the sandwich if there's hair in it. This is accurate.
And pro outdoor showering.
Pro outdoor.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Pro outdoor showering. And I would go take one right now, except it all of a sudden got back to winter today.
Yeah, what happened there? We'll go out to do some work on the deck this morning. It's freezing.
Yeah. I mean, it's enough that we got to live in this city with everything else that's going on. Can't we get some consistent summer weather? Crying out loud.
You want high 70s? No. You either get 50s or 90s.
Let's a couple more calls. Brian Newton up next. We have talked about the tragic terror shooting in Orlando for the entire show today, which is a step away from the sports world. For those of you who wanted more sports, we do apologize, but we felt it was important to have a conversation about what's going on today. So that's why we have done what we did today. Jerry, you want to talk about the shooter being stopped at the door? Go ahead, Jerry. You're on 720 WGN.
Yeah, there was a off-duty cop guarding the door of the watchman, I guess. And that's where the shooting started, by the door. So evidently the policeman tried to stop him. And it was pretty obvious, I guess, why he stopped him, because you can't carry an AK-47 unnoticed. Second thing is that people that want to do away with guns better think about Oklahoma City and Timothy McVeigh, who is not Muslim, and what he did. So, yep. So people got to be more concerned what the gun rules are. And they're pretty lax right now, I think. And even people who carry guns. I worked for the government, and I carried a gun. And we never shot to kill anybody. We had shootings, but we were trained better. The local municipalities don't pay these cops and spend the money to train them to shoot well. So, and if you're going to be one that carries a gun, you're going to be worse than the policeman. So I don't believe in people should be carrying guns unless they're trained as well as the government, the federal government people are.
Right. Makes sense, Jerry.
When that guy was shot in Connecticut, the guy they didn't capture but shot instead, there were 19 bullet holes in the walls and windows and apartments near where the shooting was, and they were all from police. So it shows you how poorly trained policemen are, and you think the civilians are going to be better trained? Forget it. They're not.
Jerry, good call. Thanks, man. Jerry. And that was interesting. One more, Adamo. We got time for one more. Where do you want to go? Jamie, we talked about the suicide skewing the shooting data, so we appreciate you calling in.
Let's talk to Mary.
Okay. Mary, you're on 720 WGN. Yes, the suicide, there's a lot of shootings that are suicides, Jamie. We see you. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, I just wanted to say that, okay, this happened. It's absolutely horrendous. However, think about what the poor people in Israel go through daily. This happens all the time to them. They live it. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but the more we let in people that we don't know anything about.
Okay, Mary, we've had that conversation enough. And when I mentioned Israel today, I did mention the fact that if you go to Israel, there's somebody with a machine gun standing in front of nearly every building, which is maybe something that'll happen in this country at some point. I doubt it, but you never know. One more. I don't want to end on that. John, real quick, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for talking about this topic. There's been a lot of opinions. I just want to quickly add that, you know, I know we've been talked about the suicides too, but just to provide you some CDC official numbers, there's about a 3-to-2 ratio of people who die from suicide from firearm violence versus people who die from homicide from firearm violence. So gun control doesn't only target these homicides, but they also try to protect lives at a higher rate from people who try to hurt themselves as well. We've heard a lot about people who are going to commit these crimes with guns, who will get these guns no matter what. That's true. But we need to look at the other side of it, too, that if we're just in the business of saving lives, that we have to think about suicide as well.
Thank you, John.
Thank you,
good
John.
Point. By the way, thank you for most... I can't believe it, but I would say about 90% of the calls we took today were actually...
I thought we did well.
Pretty well thought out, good points, good conversation. We know this is not what we usually do here on the beat, but thank you for your thoughts and bringing them to us. And really, there were only like three calls where I wanted to bang my head against the microphone, which happens a lot more when we actually talk sports. So anyway, we'll come back, talk to Brian Noonan, and wrap things up at 720 WGM.